So if the staff is well trained and you've done your homework, you'll be fine, doctor, and you're going to add thousands to your bottom line every month if you do that. Like those negotiating services, I'm going to take a step back. They cost around $5,000, somewhere in there, and that, you know, and they'll pay for themselves several times over just using them. Mm-hmm. I mean, the stakes are so big. Okay. I kind of ranted, Steve. Where do you want me to go?
No, that's fine. And I think, you know, the only thing I would add is, I again, as a business person, I'm really inclined to use data and numbers. And one of the things that has interested me, and not to depersonalize it with our listeners, is, yes, these are patients, but these are patients who cost you money every time you see them. They are unprofitable patients. And if you know that and you can afford that, and you can, you know, you have 40 or 50 or 60 patients, you know, in a month that are, in a sense, not quite pro bono, but you're going to lose money on seeing them because of their insurance company, not them personally. It has nothing to do with them personally. It has to do with who their insurance company is. Then take that on. But if not, understand that, say, you'll keep 50 to 80% of your patients, 20% may leave. But the key, and I think you know, this is maybe what you're saying, the important thing is you replace them with either patients, you know, your marketing's active, you replace them with patients from with a higher paying PPO, if you're a PPO-driven office, or fee-for-service, or whatever you replace them with, but you're not replacing them with a group of patients that is equally unprofitable or costs your bottom line. So you're basically robbing from this patient, from another good-paying patient, to subsidize somebody who has chosen a really bad PPO, an underperforming PPO.
Or their plan is. And, you know, I grew up on a farm, and I remember where they keep the shelled corn for feed. And when you shovel it out, it just keeps spilling in. And I have to tell you, mm-hmm. when guys are really deep into their PPO stuff, the first ones you knock off are just sort of like you're describing. You get rid of those, but they kind of leak over to the others. Your time is still filled up mm-hmm. with discounts. So sometimes it takes a little while to surface on that. But anyway.
So,
you brought up something sideways there that I wanted to get to mm-hmm. here in passing. When you leave a PPO, this is one of the other points, when you leave a PPO, you can't just do that. You have to be working towards something, not just away from something. So if you're leaving a PPO because you don't like it or it's not fair to you or whatever the reasons, you want to make sure that you're also fortifying your practice. You know, if you've been writing off $20,000 a month in PPO stuff, don't blush at the idea of spending $20,000 for a new sign that will last you years, or for souping up your website, or for spending direct mail money on direct mail or other advertising stuff, or spiffing up the office. It just kills me when doctors are writing off $25,000, $30,000, $35,000, $40,000 a month, and you go, how about, you know, we paint the building, put a new sign up and stuff. Well, gosh, that's a lot of money. You go, well, you're writing off $30,000 a month. Why is this a lot of money? Mm-hmm. Why don't you get a new website? Well, that costs $5,000 or something. Yeah, so that's chump change, you know, for you. And so that is another big deal. So if you just leave a PPO because you're ticked at PPOs, you got to be also working on fortifying. Now, this is the cool part about it, and I think you might relate to this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the fear, the anxiety of going through one of these transitions causes you to be better. Do you remember mm-hmm. the yeah. alertness you had on the jungle path when you first started doctor or first bought a practice? You were awake. You were looking. You were not complacent. So mm-hmm. if you know you're going through a PPO transition, you start to take a hard look at your staff and yourself. And are you really doing it? Kind of it's like if you're training for a marathon, a triathlon, or something, it forces you to get in shape. It focuses the mind, and it actually makes the practice better. Sort of like if an Aspen Dental parks across the street from you, that isn't deadly. It might help you bring up your game. Just put mm-hmm. a sign in front of your office that says "Not Aspen Dental," and take it from there.
All right, you have two options. You know, hide from them or. You know, flight or flight.
Yeah, and so that's the big thing is you can't just leave a PPO. You have to be using that almost as a stimulant to being better. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I wrote down here, you know, and again, as a business person, I have this belief, and I've used it for years very successfully. Anything that is watched and measured improves. And I think what you're saying is if the doctor engages and says, okay, we're not going to go into this blindly and just let it happen. I'm going to pay attention to it over whatever period of time we pick, and we're going to look at our reimbursement percentage, and we're going to talk about it every week, month, and year, and it's climbing up. It's not just happening randomly. It's happening because the doctor got involved and took control of it. Listen to what the staff said on the phone. I know you have a good way of coaching staff, I think, and how they deal with out-of-network patients or patients who call that might be out-of-network. If you want to, if you can go into that a little bit, how they answer the phone, maybe some dialogue.
Yeah, well, really is... I can do a couple of representative phrases, and I'll jump into that. One of the statistics, you're going to watch the collection percentage, but you want to watch, mm-hmm. You'll really tune into your new patient flows if you're going through those transition. I always like to watch the total exam in the practice because that's your patient flow meter. And you, again, if you know you're going through this transition, you're awake, you're alert. Mm-hmm. And that's the way you should be in business anyway. Yeah, now here's something that typifies the approach. A lot of times doctors call me and say, will you just send me scripts, And I go, if you don't have the underlying understanding of why you're doing this, sort of the therapy you have to do or something, the scripts mm-hmm. will stick like, paint on a tin cabinet. They're just going to fall right off. So the scripts are, when I use these phrases, is representative of a mindset. And a lot of times we have to take away, staff are worried about losing their jobs or they don't want to get patients mad at them. And so I have to kind of reassure them that they're going to be okay. But, for example, when a patient calls and says, I have Delta PPO/Premier, which is what the major Delta is across the country. And let's say your doctor just with Premier. If your front desk person goes, well, so we're not with the PPO, You may want to check.
Right.
You're going to scare off people, and I see that all the time. I deal with it all the time. It just makes me want to cry. Then I go to the office, and I go, how many Delta patients do you have here? About 1,000. Okay. How many have the PPO/Premier option? I don't know. They all do. They almost all do.
Mm-hmm.
And they come here. Do you, every time they come back, do you go, are you sure you want to be here? You could go to a PPO. No. And so you get... So when they call with Delta, you don't make a big deal about whether you're with a PPO or not. You simply say, the good news with Delta is you can go to the doctor of your choice. Come on in. We'll do a benefit check. And so you emphasize the positive. We have many patients on this plan, and it works out just fine. Are you out of network provider? Are you providers for MetLife, PPO? We're out of network providers. You don't say, no, we're not providers.
Mm-hmm.
We're out of network providers. We have many people on the plan. It works great. For the most part, come on in. We'll do a benefit check. Get them in. Have them experience your office because they might be one of that group that doesn't care if you're in their
mm-hmm.
plan or not, but they don't know until they experience you. And so
mm-hmm.
the semantics of being positive. So I never, even though, I have an attitude towards these companies because I'm the advocate for the dentist, but when you go through these transitions, we never diss insurance. As a business guy, it never works to put down anyone.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
so you don't say your
focus
insurance
on the positive.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go.
Yeah,
the good news with your insurance, you can still come here. The good news is you have any kind of insurance at all, and we'll get you whatever we can get you here. The good thing is you're at a great dental office. Let's make it work as best we can. You don't put the insurance company down, and that's another thing I work on. And it just keeps the vibes right. Everyone feels better if you accentuate the positive.